Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with a membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, prepare our heart and mind for the word that, Lord, is yours, that is God-breathed, and that, Lord, it's a transforming word, and it will transform our lives. Lord, let us be diligent students and understanding, and that, Lord, that this is all about community, Lord God, and how we serve one another, and how you've called us to serve one another. Lord, give me clarity of thought and mind as I preach today, and as I share the good news with this congregation. Lord, I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is part two of Romans chapter 12. If you remember, my first one was through verses 1 through 3. Now, we're still going to read that today because I want context, right, of where we're at. But Romans 12 truly marks a huge transformation, a shift from heavy theology. So if you've ever read Romans, you know how deep the theology is in Romans, but it's a shift from theology to practical Christian living. How shall we live our lives while we're on this earth? Paul calls believers to live out their faith in their community. And, you know, the theme, I would say, of Romans 12 is one of unity, humility, love, and service. Now, we don't think about, there's two of those that we don't think about as much is love and humility. Because we are just so selfish in our thinking and in our way of doing things. But today should enlighten you as far as what we should be doing to serve one another and not ourselves. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three and do a recap from last preaching. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what is the will of God, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to each one among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think so as to have a sound thinking as God has allotted to each measure of faith. That big key, therefore, if you remember, is that pivotal, right? He just gave all this theology, and this is where, boom, therefore, this is how you should live. This is how you should treat one another. This is how you should work within your community. When I say a community, he is teaching to Christians here, right? You know, the Jews and the Greeks, as we'll find out. But it's also how do we live our life out in the world, right? And that this gives us the baseline of how are we to do this by, you know, by presenting ourselves as a holy living sacrifice, right? So they were so used to, you know, that you know, if you remember the sacrifices in the Old Testament, living sacrifice is basically you're living your life to the Lord. And it's your spiritual service of worship. So now we're going to be going through verses 4 through 13. So let me start with verse 4. It says, "For just as we've have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another." So we're the body of Christ, but it's made up of many members. Now there's like a sister passage another passage, and Sproul mentioned it. I don't know if you remember when he was talking about the eye in there. How can an eye hear? And so if you want to flip to 1 Corinthians 12, which I thought was kind of interesting because men are the ones who wrote the chapters and verses. And it happens to be Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, and the first verse sounds almost exactly what we read in verse 4 in Romans chapter 12. "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also in Christ. For also by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For also the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less the part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were the hearing, where would the sense of smell be?" I love Paul's hyperboles. He's always got these great hyperboles, right? Totally exaggerating what it sounds like, but you know, he's trying to put his point across. "But now God has appointed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." So you're placed in the body for His desire, not your own. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, how much more is it that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary? And those members of the body which we think as less honorable, on these to bestow more abundant honor, and are less presentable members become also more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no such need," because why? They're already presented, right? "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it." And he finishes it with this: "Now, you are Christ's body, and individually members of it." And I don't know through my Christian life how many seminars and how many book studies and stuff like that we've done on, you know, what is your gift, right? And you know, how many people say, "Well, I really don't have a gift." Well, no, if you're saved and you're His, you do have a gift. And it's available. We're going to go through a series of them. And you might not think that gift's important, but what did we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? That the littlest one is just as important as the one that is revealed. So in verse 4, we see that the church is like the human body. It has many parts and many purposes. Every believer has a unique role, okay? Don't be jealous of somebody that has, a gift or, I wish, I'm not like that person. Don't go comparing yourself, right? And don't get yourself jealous over that person, whatever you do, because every believer has a unique gift. And in this, we need to embrace our roles, whatever that may be, wherever the Lord leads you there, and value other people's contribution as they perform their roles. So that was 4 and 5. Verse 6, this is going to give us the list of the various gifts, right? But having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy in agreement with the faith, or service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives generously, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So when we talk about prophesy, it's not like the prophets here, but this is like preaching, okay? There are some that are called to preaching in agreement with the faith. And there's some that for service. Some people just have a servant's heart. You can't be a deacon without having a servant's heart. I mean, and you do see that. I mean, even within our small church that we have, I see Ryan always up here diligently getting the Lord's Supper prepared. It's a service from the heart. He's not doing it like, oh, woe is me, I have to do this. He is rejoicing and able to do that for the church. It's the same with Brad in the accounting part of this. You know, can it be worrisome and such? But he does it out of a good heart. Ben, being a deacon, he serves the church. So each one of us have that gift of service. Or he who teaches in his teaching. So the difference is, pastors talked about it before, the preacher, the difference that makes a difference between a deacon and a preacher is the teaching, right? And he who exhorts in his exhortation. Now, this gift of exhortation is a spirit-enabled gift. And it's the ability to build someone up by challenging them, right? We got to challenge people. Think about this as even discipleship, right? Even think about this when a time comes to encourage a believer that's having problems, or even rebuking. That's an exhortation, right? He who gives generously, he who leads with diligence. When it talks about giving generously here, we're not just talking about tithe. It's time and money, right? And sometimes we give above and beyond what we have to help those in need. That's part of that giving. And that, what are we supposed to do this? We're supposed to do this with mercy and with cheerfulness. So it shouldn't be a laborious effort to do any one of these gifts. If you're called to have one of these gifts, it is really important that you exercise them. And it's like a muscle. You got to exercise it. You can't sit on the gift. Don't sit on the gift. If the Lord's given you something, use it. strengthen it. You know what? He will get all the glory from it. Right? So use your gifts. Gifts, you know, the gifts listed here again was prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. Now, I don't know about you, when I read over that list, it has to hit one of you have to hit one of those, you know, in what you do. Maybe it's a mixture of a few, but you have one of those. And these are definitely grace given, not self-chosen. So be careful on that. Just because, you know, you want to do it doesn't mean that's your gift, right? Like, and, you know, the application here is use your gift with excellence and, again, humility. This isn't to puff us up, right? This isn't to say, look what I'm doing for the church. That falls flat. That's like the Pharisee preaching on the corner saying, look how great I am, you know? He got his reward right there on the corner. You know, so these should be with humility. Humble yourselves. And that's hard. That's not an easy thing for us human beings to do because pride is our, you know, the original sin here. And it gets in the way a lot. So next is verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. By abhorring what is evil and doing what is good. This is authentic love. We love without hypocrisy. We do it in true love. The Greek word for the true love that God gives us is agape, right? It is, I am going to love you even if you don't love me back. Is that totally against our nature? It is. That's a struggle. Because when somebody hates you or somebody just totally disses you, you're still called to love that person. And I'm sure you all have somebody that's crossed you in your lives and you've had issues with. It's hard to love that person. But we're called to do that. Love without hypocrisy. By abhorring what is evil. You know, we do not, we have to be right along with the Lord in all of this. Calling what evil is evil, right? One of the common things today that churches have, you know, that you'll see just up the road here again, is the rainbow saying, all are welcomed. Or, you know what? Come to church, worship with us, but you can kill your baby. We have no problem with you doing that. We've got to abhor what is evil. How do we know what is evil? What God hates, we should hate, right? It's not what we choose to hate. It's what God hates, we choose to hate. And love, our love must be sincerely grounded, okay? So reject evil, cling to what is good, and love with true integrity. Love unconditionally. And that's another kind of muscle that needs to be worked, is that love muscle. Because let's face it, this world has screwed up that label so bad. And to understand God's perfect love, man, we should be striving for that. We should have that. We should be thinking about that continuously. So being devoted to one another, this is verse 10, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. I think this is like one of the more difficult ones here. Because, you know, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, it calls for a deep, like, family devotion to one another, and mutual respect. We're supposed to prefer others before ourselves and celebrate and honor them. That kind of goes against our nature in a lot of ways. You know, sometimes people do very well and we were like, yeah, but I could do better than that. Or, it's that humility that we need to have to be able to understand and celebrate another brother's or sister's accomplishments in the Lord, right? Give God all the glory, but still encourage that one Christian brother or sister and what they're doing. I don't think we do that enough. And we should, because we're told to do it. And again, it's that deep family devotion that we have for each other as this congregation, right? I've never felt closer to a group of people. I feel more closer to this group of people than a lot of my family, because you are near and dear to me because of that common bond in Christ that we have. When you sit here and look around, if we didn't have Christ as a common bond, we'd probably not even know each other, right? But look what he's done. He's brought everybody together and all their gifts together. Now, verse 11, it says, not lagging behind in diligence, but being fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Faith should be passionate and active. You heard R.C. this morning. Be a militant Christian. Be purpose-driven. Now, don't beat me up because I said purpose-driven, because somebody used that out of context out in California. But but be purpose-driven. You got to serve the Lord with energy and commitment. It is a commitment. It is something that you have to be intentional about. It's not something that you be passive about. That's real easy to get through. I mean, how many times maybe you yourselves have gone into a like mega church or a big church and you just like to like melt into the background and just sit there and get served, you know, and not have to deal with people knowing who I am or where I'm at, you know, just it's all about me. I remember David mentioned something that was really interesting to him. He when he went into church, he loved the music because he loved music. He liked the beat. He took it for himself. When he was saved, he's like, it was like mind-blowing to him because this music isn't about me, about my enjoyment. This is about serving the Lord through singing. And it totally changed his attitude. So we need to, you know, again, faith should be passionate and active. Keep moving. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes we're tired, right? Sometimes we're beat up. But we need to be passionate and active and serve the Lord with energy and that level of commitment, right? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in affliction, being devoted to one another in prayer. Hope, endurance, and prayer. We're rejoicing in hope and persevering in affliction. This is the rhythm of the Christian life. Endurance and prayer. We get together every Wednesday night, and I've I think I've only missed a handful since we started going to prayer. And it is so encouraging and uplifting. And we take the whole family here, and all the families, we divvy them out if we have enough people, and we pray for everybody, individual, or family. And we also pick an attribute of what God would have us be doing in the church, and we pray on that. And I tell you what, my heart leaps when I hear the prayers of my brothers and my sisters. It's just a blessing. So we need to be in prayer, rejoicing in hope. We need to be hopeful. We endure horrible trials sometimes. Pastor uses something that just seems like an oxymoron, but it's really true when you think about it. We must suffer well for the Lord. If we're in a situation to where everything's out of our control, it seems like everything's coming down on us, right? We must endure. We must endure. We must suffer well for Him. Why? Who's allowed that situation to happen? The Lord. For His glory. That's a hard one to understand because you've got to, you know, you think about it through the trials that you've been through in your life. How could this be ever for His glory, right? Sometimes we get to see it. Sometimes we see lives get changed. Sometimes we see, you know, people get through a situation where it looked like it was the darkest day and then the light comes. Sometimes we don't know. Debbie's just lost her mother. We stepped through that whole thing with esophageal cancer. That was not easy. But you know what? She endured to the end, and we were right there with her, encouraging her. So endure trials, and most of all, remain prayerful. Pray without ceasing. So 13, contributing to the needs of the saints and pursuing hospitality. Now, if there's anything that I would put up in red lights here in this church that we do very well, is I cannot believe the number of people who have the gift of hospitality here that just love when we have the cookouts or the going downstairs or any setup that we need, that people are really wanting to contribute to the needs of the saints. And faith is expressed through generosity and a welcoming spirit. You know, you can tell Debbie and I were out to dinner last night, and I don't know what happened with our waitress, but she was like, man, did she have an attitude when she got to our table. I don't know if somebody just did something nasty to her or what, but she was like, by the end of the evening, she actually came over to the table and we were able to talk. So, you know, be willing to have that patience that you need. And sometimes that comes with hospitality. Faith, again, is expressed through generosity and welcome. You got to be open-hearted, but you also need to be open-handed. And again, that's another thing that goes against us, right? It's mine. I don't want to give it away. You know? Oh, no. You want to borrow what? You know, sometimes it's very, very difficult. But we need, it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, so we contribute to one another. It's a two-way action, and we pursue hospitality. How many of us pursue hospitality? I know that's one of the ones that I'm not really great at. You know, I don't think of, you know, getting the place set up and such. You know, All the women do a beautiful job of getting the food together and such like that. I always see Brad at the end cleaning up and vacuuming and mopping. And, you know, it's just having that attitude that we pursue hospitality. We're not asked to, hey, if you're thinking about it, why don't you be hospitable? It says pursue hospitality. Be open-hearted and open-handed. Now, this is a blueprint for the Christian life. This is now, Paul is done with the deep theology. Now he's putting feet onto everything and saying, look, you have these gifts, use them. What are we supposed to do with these gifts? We're supposed to honor God with these gifts. And each one's different. As we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, I might be a big toe, but I'm still needed. You know, the parts of the body are all needed to function. So never think you're an outcast. Never think that you are living on an island, because you're not. If you are His, if you are part of the elect, you are part of the body. And that makes you vital to everybody else here. So remember that. And it's not about just believing. It's about belonging and behaving. Why I say that is sometimes we get stuck in this thing, hey, we're saved. Okay, looking forward to the second coming. I'm looking forward for the Lord to call me home. But wait a minute. What do we do in the meantime during our sanctification? It's about belonging and behaving. Calvin, I went through his whole write-up on Romans chapter 12. And I did like this first paragraph that he wrote about this. He says, after having handled those things necessary for the erection of God's, the kingdom of God, he's talking about chapter 1 through 11, right? That righteousness is to be sought from God alone. That salvation is to come to us alone from His mercy. That all blessings are laid up and daily offered to us in Christ only. He's grounding us. He's letting us zero in here on Christ. Paul now passes on, according to the best order, to show how the life is to be formed. If it be that through the saving knowledge of God and of Christ, the soul is, as it were, regenerated into celestial life. I love that he used celestial life. Remember where Paul says, you know, we're already in heaven. You know, it's if you're His elect, it is guaranteed. We should be living that way. And that the life is a manner formed and regulated by holy exhortations and precepts. It is in vain that you show desire to form the life aright, except you prove first that the origin of all righteousness in men is in God and Christ. For this is to raise them from the dead. You know, again, his focus is we're given these gifts. We're giving these talents for His glory. And everything that we do should point back to Christ as the reason why we do it, right? It's not, I mean, we do things to make ourselves, I mean, we feel good about it, but ultimately, it's all for naught if it's not for Christ. So, think about this. What gift has God given to you? Think about that. What gift has God given to you? Go through this list again. Pray about it. Because God's given you a gift. And important, am I loving authentically? What does that mean? If you notice that no matter what Paul teaches, whether it's building up of the saints or whether it's rebuke of the saints, in everything, what does he do it? He does it in love. Sometimes that love is just that pouring out, that feeling of knowing who Christ is and that everything's going to be okay because it's in God's hands. And sometimes that love, on the other hand, it's true love, but it's a rebuke. It's a tough love that we're not ignoring something, we're calling something out. And that is true love. Now, you can do that in judgment, in anger, but we're supposed to do it within love. And how can I serve the body of Christ more faithfully? Think about that. How can we serve the Lord by serving the body of Christ? What is it that we need to be doing? What is it? Might be a better question, what are we not doing that we should be doing? We have a tendency to think about ourselves. I know that because I'm I'm one of them. I think about myself a lot when I should be thinking about others and building others up and strengthening them. Can't be that Christian that Sproul was talking about, the militant Christian, without building each other up and strengthening each other. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I hope that through this preaching today, that it's maybe sparked something in your mind about what service you should be offering. What gift is it that you have? Use it. Don't hide it. Use it. There's somebody that needs your encouragement. There's somebody that needs your help. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we come before you and we thank you, Lord God, for your word and the clarity of how we're supposed to treat one another and the gifts that you give. They're not ours, Lord, but you've given us these gifts and you expect us to execute on these gifts in love and in humility. Lord, again, give us clarity of mind on these. And that, Lord, if anybody is confused or not sure where they stand in the gift that you give them, let it be a major prayer effort that they can realize what you have done for them. Because, Lord, if they are truly yours, you have given them a gift. Lord, we think of those that might be here today that have no idea what this was because this was directed towards your saints. Lord, I pray that you break that heart of rock and that, Lord, you turn it into flesh, that they cry out to you in your mercy. And that, Lord, that you will mercifully save them. Lord, we thank you for all you're doing in our lives, all you're going to do. Lord, let us walk this life while we're on this earth, serving you again through love and humility. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Austin Hetzler is the pastor of Christ the Rock Church of Amherst, Ohio. The church and its ministries are based on an unwavering commitment to accurately representing God's Word. We also passionately believe in engaging the present culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This recorded message is an ongoing ministry of Christ the Rock Church. We are committed to teaching and distributing the truth of the gospel according to the Bible for the benefit and furtherance of Christ's kingdom. We pray that the Lord will use our pulpit ministry to either effect your salvation or increase the strength and faith of your ongoing sanctification in Christ Jesus. If this message has blessed you and you wish to monetarily support our pulpit ministry, please visit our website at christrockchurch.com and locate the donate button located on each page. Thank you, and may God bless you.